Hey, what's good? This is Rich, and you're listening to Paychecks and Balances, where we talk making money, saving money, and getting out of debt, all while having some fun along the way. And on today's show, we're talking about how to make more money by leveraging the stock market with Terry Igioma. And Terry teaches people how to invest in the stock market based on her own 9 years of experience doing so and going from $0 per day to $1,000 per day, which allowed her to leave her toxic work environment and live her best life. She is a Teachable Creator Challenge winner, MIT alum, world traveler, and honestly, an all-around awesome person. And while we're on the topic of making more money, why not make more money on what's already sitting in your savings account by leveraging a high-yield account that maximizes interest and compounds over time? Our friends at The College Investor have put together a list of the 10 best high-yield savings accounts out there. Don't do like I did for a while and have your money earning 0.00000000001%. Visit paypal.co/TCIPAYBAL.co/TCI to check out the list. And now, here's our conversation with Terry, and we hope you enjoy.
And welcome to what will clearly be an eventful show, Terry.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here.
So why don't you tell the Paychecks and Balances family a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Terry Igioma, and I help people afford to travel and pay off debt using the stock market. I was able to quit a really toxic job and start traveling around the world by trading stocks full time. And now I teach other people how to do that.
Well, all right. I'm not going to segue too much because I promise I'd keep this tight, but to the degree that you feel comfortable talking about it, why was it toxic? And maybe one or three signs you knew that it was time to move on.
Oh, man. Okay. So I was an assistant principal of an elementary school. And a couple signs that it was toxic was, one, I was denied vacation times 3 times in a row. Every time I asked my boss if I could take a day off, he was like, no, because nobody can leave the building. We need you to babysit the building. Like, what? Another thing, like, I would do all this work. So I was in charge of everything operational, from like feeding the kids to overseeing the janitor in the building to hiring new staff members. But the things that my boss would complain about was like, oh, you had different color thumbtacks on the wall. Just petty. Oops. So that was sign number two. And then sign number three, like, my friend passed away unexpectedly, and that was just devastating. And I knew that life was too short to be in this job where I just hated it. So those were the signs. I can't do this. Like, me and my other assistant principal, we would take turns crying in the bathroom. And when you're doing that, you know it's time to go.
So, question there, because what you just said really resonated with me, and I had a point last year where a friend passed away via suicide. And I don't want to get crazy deep into it, but it's like, what happened? And then what did you do for self-care to process it and get through it?
So I actually found out about it on my way to school. We have a group text with all my friends that used to live in Chicago. We had like a clique, and we used to do everything together. That was just my ride or die crew. And we have a group text, and I just started seeing my phone blow up. And apparently John had strep throat, and he had gone to the hospital and they gave him the wrong medicine, and he had an allergic reaction and passed away unexpectedly. And we were like, what? You're not supposed to die from strep throat. And he was 31, just had like a baby, his wife, like, just, we were devastated. Like, he's the nicest guy. If anybody needed anything, like, John was the one to come. He was amazing, nicest guy. And so that kind of stuff's not supposed to happen when you're 30. Well, he was 31. So that happened, and I found out about it at work. And I remember trying to pretend at work like everything was okay. And so I remember having like just, I was with the kids, hugging them, acting like everything was okay, talking to staff like everything was okay, basically pretending and going through the motions because I didn't want them to see me cry. And so I got to my office, though, and I couldn't hold it anymore, and I just broke down. And I remember just sobbing, and then it got worse and worse because then I started thinking, not only did I lose my best friend, but what if I had died today? Like, is this how I really want to live my life? And that's when I started thinking about, okay, Lord, I actually called my board of directors, but it's really my mom and my grandmother. So I called them on three-way and I'm breaking down and I'm talking to them like, okay, guys, like, I can't do this anymore. Do I quit today? Like, am I supposed to just walk out, give them my deuces and just leave? Because this is not okay. And my grandmother was like, oh, yes, baby. She's always supported me. She's like, you good. Tell them bye. Today's your last day and walk out. And my mom's like, no, but you need benefits and insurance. So you need to hold on. So we decided to come up with an exit strategy. And for me, that was trading stocks. If I could replace my income, which was $300 a day, with trading, then I could leave. So all year, I worked on becoming a better trader until I got consistent at making $300 a day. And then that summer, I was able to leave.
So that's going to blow a lot of people's mind, including present company. Why was trading your go-to?
I had learned about trading in high school. I did a program at Northwestern University at Kellogg, and they took us to the Chicago Stock Exchange. And that blew my mind in high school. And then I went to college, and I learned about it some more at MIT. I studied finance and business at Sloan, and I interned at Morgan Stanley. So I had known about business, but it just hadn't been my full career path. I went down this whole education route, which led me to be an assistant principal for 10 years, but I was trading on the side. And I knew that it was something that could bring you wealth, but I just hadn't given a lot of energy to it. And so I was kind of doing it as a hobby on the side until I needed another income. And I said, you know what, I'm going to get serious right now. And when I started practicing, I was like, wait, this works. I made $100 a day, $300 a day. Okay. And now I'm up to more than $1,000 a day on a regular basis.
Oh,
yeah.
That was going to be my second or my follow up question, although it sounds like you might have answered it. Did well, let me back up a little bit so I could go in order here. How did you know, where did the 300 come from? You knew you had to get to 300. How'd you come up with that number?
I took my salary. So my salary was $60,000 a year. And then I divided that by months. So I said, okay, to do that, you got to do $5,000 a month. So 5 times 12, 60, real basic. and then I said, okay, well, $5,000, how do I reach that? And I came up with, okay, actually, I want to make a little more than $5,000 because that includes taxes. So I said, okay, how do I make $6,000 a month? And if you do $300 a day times 5 trading days, that's $1,500 a week. And times 4 is $6,000 a month just by making $300 a day.
And that was going to lead into my second question. Did you just come out the gate, Wolf of Wall Street, on them, knocking them on their ear? They didn't know what hit them. They're like, who is this turning it in $300,000 a day? Or did you like lose everything, crap out, come back, crap out again? Like what was the pattern for you till you reach that $1,000 a day for success?
You guys know I'm amazing. No, I'm just kidding. when I first
I appreciate
started-
that confidence, though.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So I've been trading 9 years, and I will tell you the first 6 years, I lost a lot of money. I was making every rookie mistake in the book. I was trading when stocks were at their highs. I was trading way too many quantity size because I just knew this stock was it. This is the company, and it wasn't. So I was making every single mistake. Once I started taking classes, though, I was able to come up with some strategy and a trading plan. And so now I have a 7-step trading plan that I do before I take any trade. And that's actually what I teach my students in my course now. Okay, these are the 7 steps that we take before we take any trade. And that has given me some consistency. So, yes, in the beginning, I lost. And you're going to lose. Like, everyone should know that trading is not a get-rich-quick scheme, as people say. It's not gambling. It's very calculated risk, but you need to have a consistent trading plan so that you know how to trade well.
And is there an amount, or I guess another way I could phrase this, do they need $1 to start, $1,000 to start? How do you get started?
And you know what? Let me build on that, because like trading stocks is something that I just got into in the past couple of months here. And, you know, I've been talking to a financial advisor about it and how I want to start doing more by having a taxable stock account. But there was also this fear of, like, this is my actual money going into this thing that may or may not work out. And I know that it's something that over time is ultimately going to work out. So how do you, so if someone's thinking, like, how do I create this passive income investment stream for me? And I'm someone that's fairly risk adverse. Like, how do you get into that and know that it's ultimately going to work out?
Great. Okay. So I heard like three different questions there about fear, how I got started, and then how much money you need to start. So how about, do y'all mind if I just knock out one at a time?
No, blast them off.
So first of all, let's talk about how I got the money to get started. So I have left three jobs in the past, and I had 401k money or retirement money, because sometimes it's a 401k. I worked at a nonprofit. It was a 403b. But no matter what, in my career, I had three different jobs where I had given money to their retirement plan and they had matched my money. So like coming out of my first job, I had about $16,000 that was in their 401k plan. And I was able to move that money over to a self-directed IRA. So when I was first learning to trade, I was basically trading with my job's money in a self-directed IRA until I could get consistent. So if someone's wondering, well, how do I find money to start trading? Consider using your old retirement accounts. You can move that over to a self-directed IRA. And then as I'm teaching you how to trade, you can practice in that retirement account. And the cool thing is, one, if they had matched your money, you'll have a little extra. And then two, you didn't need that money anyway. You weren't going to have access to it until 59 and a half. So it just gives you a little bit more breathing room to learn and practice. So that's one thing. Another idea, though, in terms of practicing, and this goes to your question, I believe, Marcus, you asked me this about how much do they need to get started. I usually tell people in the brokerage account that's partnered with my school. So we have a broker that partners with my school, and they actually pay the students to take my class. So as you're trading, they'll refund you the amount of my course, which is super awesome, because they want to encourage educated traders. So what, and it's called TradeStation. So with their platform, you can put in $500 to fund your account, and then they give you access to a simulated brokerage account where you'll actually practice as you're learning in my course until you're good. And what I tell my students to do is I want you to see 10 consistent wins, like 10 consistent trades before you're able to move over with your real money. So in terms of how much does it take to get started, it only takes $500 to get started, because then you're going to learn in a simulated fake account with fake money. And then once you start with your real money, a lot of my students start with about $2,000, because at $2,000, they're able to use what's called margin. So the bank will let you trade with four times your cash amount. And this is something that's risky. And I have to teach you in the class how to actually work with it, make sure that you're using it correctly. But a lot of students will start with about $2,000 so they can have access to that margin. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that makes complete sense. I think part of it for me is we hear the stats about how the average millennial, aside from the avocado toast or whatever else, doesn't have more than $500 in the bank for savings. And you can tell me if you've actually, you know what? Yeah. Has that been what you've heard too, where like the average person doesn't have more than $500 in the bank?
I have heard that the average person doesn't have very much, but then I would come back and say, I know that my course is not for everyone. When you're becoming a investor and a trader at like trying to make regular income from trading, usually it's someone who has saved up a little bit. You have some money that's been sitting in the bank and you're trying to figure out how to make it work for you. So if you're still working on saving, then do that. Save, pay off some debt. But if you have some money that's stashed away, then this is really good for you because you can learn how to make that money work.
And I think this is a good opportunity. You know, we met in person at FinCon. I think we ran in the same social circles before then. But I saw you on the gram. I teach people how to invest in the stock market, which you're obviously talking about here. But, you know, I don't think we have our sounding board anymore. So, bah, 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 you also won Teachable's Creator Challenge contest for teaching first-time investors how to get started in the stock market. For those of you who don't know, Teachable is a website where entrepreneurs, like Present Company, can create and sell beautiful online courses. What inspired you to create Invest with Terry?
Man, so after I quit my job, I started traveling all over the world. So I did like a month in South Korea, a month in Thailand, a month in Vietnam, went to Australia, Fiji, Greece, Israel, everywhere. I was just gone. And I just didn't want to be in anybody's building ever again under anyone's boss. I just wanted freedom. But while I was gone, the people that I was traveling with kept asking me how I was doing it. Like, how are you affording this? And I would tell them, I'm trading right stocks.
That's my question right now. Because I'm sitting here and I'm telling Marcus in the background, I'm like, I feel triggered. But like, there's what you were doing already in the stock world. And you were somebody that was like comes off as being financially responsible and you were doing the right types of things. When did you realize that you were ready to do it? And then can you continue on with the story of just like, here's what I went and did? Because I think part of the struggle for me is I'm in a good situation. I know that I probably could take some of these chances and it wouldn't kill me financially. But for a lot of people, they don't got that money saved. Or they don't feel the confidence to be like, I can go out and do this. So what was that experience for you?
Sure. So let me step back to when people started asking me to teach them. So while we were abroad in Thailand, the other people that I was traveling with, and we were all people that could work from anywhere. So it was consultants, just different people in different careers, but we could just have our laptop and make some money. And they asked me to teach them how I was trading. And so it was several of them that asked me to go to coffee. Like, can you go to coffee with me? And I said, no, how about this? I'm going to do a workshop and I'll teach you guys how to invest in the stock market. So it was like an intro to the stock market class. And we did that first class in Thailand. And then we went to, and they loved it. They absolutely loved it. And then they asked me to do it again when we were in Vietnam. So I did another class in Vietnam, but people were seeing my pictures on Instagram. So when I got home, then people asked me, can you teach us in Texas? So I did a class in Texas. And that's when this online course thing was birthed. Because I did an online class, and again, I did a live class, and then people were like, wait, what about us? We're in Atlanta. We're in California. And I said, fine. Okay, I have an online course. If anybody wants me to teach them how to trade, I'll teach you. And I thought nobody was going to buy it. But two people ended up buying the course, and I had to build it. And then once we built the course, people just started pouring into the online class. And then to your question, Rich, of how do you know you're ready? So here's the thing, and I think it goes back to your question of fear. There is always going to be a piece of fear when you're stepping out on faith. Like, no matter what, you're going to have fear. And I know, like, I'm a big Bible person, and there's like a scripture that says, like, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and self-control and a sound mind. And I think no matter what, if you're stepping out to do something new that you've never done before, you're going to have to overcome fear and just say, you know what? I don't have that spirit. I have a spirit of power and just do it. Like, that's really, at some point, you're just going to have to say, go. And that was like, I had to overcome that fear when I left my job. Quitting your job's not easy, but and it's a set salary. But I'm like, no, I'm going to quit this job and start trading full time. But a piece of it was, I know that my method works. I know that these seven steps can help me have consistent income in the stock market. And it has. Like, one of my biggest trading days was $35,000 in a day. And even a couple weeks ago when we were at FinCon, I made $22,000 in the Uber on the way to the conference. So I know it works. And I think that's the confidence that allowed me to quit my job. Like, when you have a set trading plan, okay, this is step one, step two, step three. And then one other thing I will say is some of the fear, because there's always this thing of, oh, investing in the stock market is gambling. And that's actually not true, because the way that I teach my students, we have a full risk management plan. So we go into every single trade knowing what is the risk on this trade and what is the reward. So we have a percentage, like, this is the probability of this trade, and we can take just high probability trades. when you have something like that, then the idea of gamble and risk goes out, or not risk, you still have risk, but the idea of gamble goes away, and it's more like, okay, if I consistently take high probability trades, then the probability of my portfolio increasing is 3-1. That's kind of how we approach it. Does that answer your question, Rich?
That makes dope sense to me. Because I'm like, I'm going through it. I'm sitting here right now and I'm hearing this and I'm like, I want to get on this next level, but I feel like I can't completely get there. But you solved that for me.
You can totally do it. And I have a lot of people, too, that are like, well, Terry, you went to MIT. You're really good at math. But it's not a math thing at all. It's honestly more of a negotiation. So have you ever been to a market? Like in Nigeria, there's these cloth markets. And like we never go into the cloth market expecting to pay full price. What they tell us to pay is not what we're about to pay. We are going to negotiate. This is a negotiation between the buyer and the seller. And honestly, that's what the stock market is, too. It's a market. And you're just negotiating between buyers and sellers on the price of a stock. So if you are somebody who knows how to bargain shop, you can go into the store, find a clearance, then you can trade. You can do stocks.
I do have a question there. I haven't been to Nigeria. I have been to New York. And I also feel that whatever price they tell me, at least as far as the street vendors go, we jumping right into a negotiation.
Right.
But I do think some people are going to be caught up there. And this isn't going to dominate the discussion. I'm going to keep this tight. But there is a national dialogue going around the value of college. You seem to found another viable revenue stream. So I guess my question is, I would assume, and it is an assumption, that that's a prestigious network of alumni, having gone to the schools that you spoke about, MIT, as well as the programs that you spoke to. Has that helped you? Has that harmed you? Has that not mattered at all in your journey?
I will tell you, I've been really excited to see such support from my fellow alumni. So I have several MIT alums that are in my class and Harvard, because I was in the Black Student Union that was between MIT and Harvard. So I have several Harvard alums
BSU,
that are in my class.
BSU.
And BSU, that is true. It is right there too. You're right. But yes, they have supported me so much. And one of my students right now, his name is Mikhail, and I'll give him a shout out. But he told me, he's a fellow MIT alum. And he was like, you know what, Terry, when I found out that you were doing the course, I knew that you were going to bring MIT to the course. And I knew that it was going to be a good course, because that's what we do. And he said, and he's been trading for a while, so he wasn't coming in as a beginner. He's an advanced trader. But he said, but what I really knew is that no matter what, I was going to come in and I was going to get some new nuggets to help improve my trading. And that's what I did. So he got into my course, and now I've allowed him to become a more consistent and better trader. And he said, Terry, you provided the nuggets that I needed to get over my hump. Because he had kind of hesitated, like he had lost a little money and he wasn't doing as well as he wanted. So he got into my course and he was like, I needed that trading plan. I needed that consistency. And then I teach him how to read charts. He wasn't reading charts before. He was kind of just trend trading and, oh, I think this is going to be good. But charts teach you when to get in and when to exactly get out. And that's the nuggets he needed to really improve. So I've seen great support from my MIT and other schools. I've really seen great support from them.
I'm actually that's not the response I expected, but yet I'm really excited to hear that.
So what did you expect, bro?
I thought
you ain't on it.
Yeah, I thought the haters would be out there, the online commenters. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Well, okay, yeah. Let me actually speak to that. I did have one other guy who also was an alum, and he heard me on a radio show, and I have no idea why he decided to call in. I was like, we're supposed to support each other. What in the reason? Why would you do that? But he called in and he was like, I just don't want you to give everybody false hope that they can do this. And I was like, what in the world? Why would he do that? But I do think that what he was saying is what some people fear, that like, oh, you're an anomaly, Terry. Like, I can't do this. This is not for everyone. And what I'll say is to that, I am an excellent teacher. And I know that I'm not good at everything. I suck at a whole bunch of stuff, but I am good at teaching and I know that my plan works. And so to his thing of it's not for everybody and I'm scared, those people need to take my course. That's what I'll say.
And
I'm sorry, boss up like that, but it's so true.
Actually, I'm gonna say something different. You ain't never got to apologize. I always amplify people on this show. I was like, y'all need to say it more with your chest, so you don't never have to apologize for saying it with your chest to me. Actually, my question was going to be, we're in one of the, we being the last 10 to 15 years, largest expansions, and so in the stock market. Does your course, and I'm going to kind of walk through some leading questions, but you said you have a seven-step plan, so whichever preference you would have, does it address both up and down markets?
Yes. So one of my students, like, she made $2,600 in 20 minutes the other day trading Amazon was falling. So, yes.
I'm hating.
We talk about shorting stocks, and yes. I, like, one of my favorite things is making money when the stock market goes down. I love it, and I do teach that to my students.
We're taking a quick break from our chat with Terry to tell you about today's sponsors. As I mentioned up top, make sure you're getting the best interest rate on your savings account by checking out the College Investors list of the 10 best high-yield savings accounts out there. The right savings account means more money without putting in more effort. To check out the list, visit paybow.co/TCI. Again, that's paybow.co/TCI to see where you could be earning more money on your savings. The University of California Irvine's fall registration is open. This is an opportunity to boost your professional skills so you have more tools in your arsenal when it comes time for that next role, that interview, or that business you're trying to get off the ground. UCI's online classes offer the flexibility and convenience you need and an immersive classroom experience to keep you engaged. They have a ton of offerings, including courses on project management, business, and my old world, human resources. To check out their offerings and sign up for a course, visit ce.uci.edu/paychecksbalances and enter paychecks at checkout for 15% off one course. That's ce.uci.edu/paychecksbalances and enter promo code paychecks for 15% off one course. This offer is only valid through December 31st, 2019 at 11:59 p.m. And now, back to the show.
I think you've hit on some of the first steps. So I'm going to jump to the middle, but if you want to, you know, go kind of lead into this, just let me know. But you spoke a little bit too, and I think this is what Rich was speaking to. I think to a lot of people who are listening to the show, this is going to be there's going to be a lot of roadblocks. Some people put up their own hurdles and roadblocks. They don't even get in the car. That being said, how do you make a risk-based portfolio or a risk-based decision?
Sure. And so let me tell you this in respect to kind of how I teach. So the first thing that we have to do is you have to pick good companies. And that's the first step of your risk management. A lot of people try to trade penny stocks, and that's not the way to actually make money. The best way to make money is to pick value companies, and I can teach you how to pick good companies. So that's the first step. Then the second step is risk management, and that includes things like being able to put in a stop loss order. So a stop loss is a type of order that can regulate, like you can dictate how much risk you want to take on a trade. If you say, I don't want to lose more than $100, then you'll put this stop market, you can do like stop market, stop limit, but a stop loss order, you'll put that in, and then that will take you out of the trade as soon as you lose $100. And so you get to regulate your risk as you're trading. So that's part of the risk management plan. And we have several other steps too. Another one is like your quantity size. My biggest loss was on Pandora a couple of years ago. I thought it was going to be the next best thing. I did not know about Spotify and YouTube and everything else. but I ended up losing a lot of money because I had 8,000 shares. So even if it went down a dollar, I lost $8,000. So another big part of that is learning how to pick your quantity size. So there's several different things I teach on risk management, but biggest thing, learn how to use that stop loss order. Then from there, we go into reading charts, and reading charts helps you know exactly when do you get in and when do you get out. And that's where I was telling you a little bit about some people just trend trade. Oh, I like this company. I'm gonna just get in right here and hope it goes up. No. You can look at a chart and it'll tell you where are the big banks like Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs, what price are they buying the stock at? And when you know that, then you can kind of follow the money. So those three things are big parts of your risk management plan. And then we go into, okay, now how do you make money when the stock market goes down? How do you make money on those Globex trades or during earnings when you see those gaps? And then we go into options trading, which is a whole nother beast, but it actually accelerates your trading too. So those are kind of the steps that I take people through with my trading.
And I want to say, because, you know, this is for entertainment purposes only, because we're not certified investors and everything else. But part of what I've been thinking about is I hear stop loss. I hear these various terms, and I wonder if people in our audience are hearing some of these terms as well. And if someone's just getting into it, even with it sounding kind of simple, it can still sound really intimidating to someone. Mm-hmm. So if somebody is just getting into the game, like, what are the basics? Like, what would you say are the two or three basic things that someone needs to know? And that could be, I got to set up like this, like, fake play account where I don't lose money. It could be, I need to understand like how the markets roll. It could be, I understand how to read these charts. But like, what are those like two to three basic things that someone needs to understand before they get in this game?
Sure. So let me tell you, in order to make money in the stock market as an investor, I really do think people need to learn how to read charts, which is one thing. You really need to learn how to protect your risk. And then you really need to learn how to manage your emotions. So those are three things that I would say are super important. But if you're not there yet, so say you're like, okay, Terry, and I think Rich, this might be where you were heading. Okay, Terry, we're not there yet. What do we need to do to even just get started? And to get started, I would say, like, check out the CNBC app on, you can download it on your phone, and there's also a CNBC channel. Just start listening to it so you're aware of company news. And that will also help you get familiar with the language of, okay, what are they talking about with these CEOs leaving and this IPO opening up? And, you know, you'll start getting familiar with the language. So I would say start there, just start getting familiar with companies. And you can also, on that CNBC app, you can build a watch list. So start putting the companies that you like into that watch list, and you can start watching them. It'll give you notifications on news about them. You'll be able to see how their stock price is moving and get familiar with that. So building a watch list out and getting familiar with the companies, I think, is step one if you're not ready to quite jump in all the way. But do know that to be successful, you need to get a mentor that's doing well and then learn those things I was telling you about charts and risk management. I think that's super important.
Another thing I want to point out here, and I really just think that we're trying to, as you said, as you opened with earlier, we're trying to make the sale here. And you don't have to quit. I think a lot of people here, they're thinking of one for one. They're like, man, I can't quit from my job and stop trading. Can you speak a little bit to the people in your class that kind of run the demographic or economic scale, or kind of what is their, like, the person who, you know, I do this on the side, all the way down to the person I'm looking to do this full time?
Sure. So I started doing this as a hobby on the side. So I've been trading for 9 years, but I've only been full time for 2 years. So 7 of those years, I was doing this on the side. And I told you guys, so the first 6 years, I struggled. It was just a hobby. I didn't put much effort into it. And then that last year, while I was an assistant principal, I was really learning how to trade. So this is how I managed it as a full time employee, but just trading on the side. In the morning, when the stock market opened, I'd make this like 30-minute meeting with myself, and that allowed me to check the market, see what the stocks were doing, and it's not a ton of time. Like, you can actually trade with less time using charts, so that's why I'm so specific about charts. But I made a 30-minute meeting with myself to check when the market first opened. Then at lunchtime, you can trade on your cell phone. So at lunchtime, I would make sure to just kind of look at my phone, see how it was doing. And then at the end of the day, especially at the end of the market day, I would check back and see if there's any changes I needed to make. Like, do I need to sell something or buy something before the stock market opens for the next day? So you really just need a couple times where you can check your phone. And then at night, I'd say put in a little bit more time to do your homework. Like, that's when you'll look and say, okay, is there, you know, what does the chart look like for this company? Or what happened in the market today? Was there some crazy news on the Twitter sphere of our president or something crazy? You know, like, stuff happens every day. So you know, get reacclimated at nighttime and then go to work the next day and just be able to check and see how things are going. And I will say one other thing is, if you don't have a lot of time, like say you're even like, Carrie, that's too much for me, I can't make a 30-minute meeting with myself, you don't always have to day trade. Like you can swing trade and have positions that are that you hold for a longer time. So you can hold something for a week to 2 weeks and still make pretty good money. Like when I was saying I made $300 a day, that actually is just $1,500 a week. And there's some strategies I can teach you to do week trades or even a monthly trade. How do you make $5,000 in a month using a couple trades and letting them run for a little while? So the same skills that I'm teaching you on just how to know when to get in and when to get out of a trade, you can use that on any time frame. So that's kind of how some of my students that are still working full time operate.
Hashtag like. I feel like there should be a stronger, stronger hashtag, but it's just not coming to me. I have to leave that to the exennials or whatever they may be out there.
Hashtag make money. Hashtag you can do this while you work. Hashtag you don't have to do an Uber job.
Oh, Richard, sounded like there was a hashtag you wanted to get in there, brother. I want to give you your ample.
No,
time.
I mean, she covered it. I'm like, hashtag like, hashtag guap, hashtag get this cash, hashtag passive income. So I'm feeling good.
And then we're going to move towards the wrap here purposely. So I'm sure people are on the edge of their seat because they want more information. And then we're going to leave y'all wanting more. But I guess my last two questions here would be, does your advice differ or change when talking to men or women or persons of color?
No, most of my students are minorities. So people of color, like that's who I really want to help, because we didn't, and I'm being general here, but I know for myself, I didn't have some rich uncle, and Google IPO'd my senior year of high school. And I remember actually asking my granny, like, can we invest in this? It's $83 a share. Can we do it? But when I asked everybody around me, my teachers, my family, none of us knew how to invest. But I could just imagine if I had invested in Google at $83 a share, like it's over $1,200 now, how different would my life have been? Mm. So, no, I think when I talk to women and especially minorities, I say, y'all, people around us have been doing this for years and that's how they've become wealthy. We've just been left out of the game. And so now we need to take our seat at the table and learn how to invest our money too.
I like that. This last one is not a setup question, so don't feel that you have to answer. You can say, man, I don't know, shrug your shoulders and move on. Is there anything that we didn't hit here that you're just like, man, I can't believe they didn't ask me this question, like that you want to get out there to the PNB family?
How do you sign up for the course?
Yo, that's easy. Okay, we're right here at the wrap. So for those interested in learning more.
Did we talk about that?
Oh yeah,
so
that's my closeout question.
Okay, I'm gonna just fade to black, like Jay-Z style. I'm gonna just fade to black. You got this, fam.
For those interested in learning more about Terry's courses, we're gonna create a simple short link which you can find at paybal.co/Terry. Terry, what are those courses, and maybe get a high level overview of what are they gonna find there?
Sure. So if they go to itradeandtravel.com, they can put in their email there and it'll actually give them a replay of a webinar that I've done about the top four secrets for me making $1,000 a day. So they can learn my top four secrets there. And that's a free webinar. Also, it'll give them the link to sign up for the course. And you can find me on Instagram at I'm an investor. It looks like Imani investor, which is like faith investor, which is totally fine. I'm down for that too. So Imani investor or I'm an investor. That's what my Instagram is. Those are the best ways to find me.
You know, to this day, I don't know why Instagram doesn't allow for capitalization and paragraph breaks. Seems very simple. Seems very simple. You know, Instagram listeners out there, if you got something behind the scenes, get that done. Can you hit that one more time? I'm going to let you say it. What was the website again?
Website is itradeandtravel.com and Instagram is I'm an investor.
And folks, of course, we'll always get that in the show notes for you. I know you often don't find yourself in the show notes, so we're also adding that to the app that you'll be in right there, so you can click directly and wherever you are. You do not have to go to the website, but if you wanted to, because it's awesome, it's paychecksandbalances.com. Terry, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks again to Terry for coming on the podcast, and be sure to check out her course by visiting paybal.co/Terry, paybal.co/TERI, to start building additional funds through the stocks today. And if you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to share with your network and hit us with those 5 stars in Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening, and say a few words about the show. Today's review of the week comes from Raul Santiago, 66. And it reads, I've been listening to you guys for a minute. I have a side hustle going for a while, and you guys have encouraged me to step it up, both in my main job and in my side hustle. I'm currently in the planning stages on another side hustle that I plan on possibly making a full-time gig in the next 4 to 5 years. Keep up the good work and be blessed. Raul, appreciate those 5 stars. Best of luck to you in getting that additional side hustle off the ground. Keep us posted on your progress. And if you'd like to find us on social, we're on Twitter and Instagram at PayBalances and on Facebook at Paychecks and Balances. And for our individual accounts, I am at I Am Rich Jones. And you can find Marcus at The Marcus Garrett with 1 T on Twitter, 2 T's everywhere else. And if you haven't already, join our email list by visiting paybal.co/email, where you'll receive our weekly newsletter, special updates, and more. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, be safe. We out. Peace.